I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
There's a swing. There's a high drive deep down the right field line. This one has a chance. Into the corner. Goodbye! A home run from Michael Conforto for the Giants' first run of the night. Conforto's got his third home run of the season already, and this is only the fifth game of the year. And that was one of those spectacular, aesthetically pleasing home runs. Just a soaring, majestic blast.
That's right. One of the few highlights from this week in Giants baseball. I'm your host, Chad King. This is TortureCast, a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, so no April fooling you today. And this is episode 298, and I'm here with Eric Nathanson. Man, we're creeping up on 300. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I had to quickly look down at the screen when you said 298. I was like, oh, wow. It is 300, right around the corner. They made a movie about us many years ago called 300, so, you know, check that out.
Yeah, we all got to get in shape for that one, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm ready. I've been working out, you know, one day.
Russell Crowe from 25 years ago. Here we go.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it was Gerard Butler. Anyway.
Gerard Butler. Yeah, I don't know about you. I get all those old guys mixed up.
Yeah, right. I'm so happy baseball's back every day. I don't know about you. This is great. I got the Orioles Royals game on right now as we're talking. You know, it's what, 5 days into the season, 6 days into the season, but like baseball is back, like in full swing now. We have stuff to talk about, Chad. I mean, isn't that wonderful?
I love it. I love this time of year. We talked about it last week in our season preview. It's just so much fun. It's just so much fun. And I know when we get to August, let alone July, we're like kind of in the doldrums and the dog days, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, when the Giants, you know, if they're not good, which they haven't been the last several years, it gets a little long in the tooth. And it's hard to, you know, talk about them sometimes. We'll be perfectly honest. We still love talking about them. It just doesn't have that level of excitement when we know the team's probably not going anywhere. But right now, we're really excited about this team. They've made significant upgrades in the offseason. And if you missed that, go back and listen to 297. I think we have some good content in there, and it's still relatively fresh as far as our take on the season. We have our season predictions in there, like win totals and MVPs and, you know, batting averages and who's going to lead the team in home runs, all that stuff. So go check it out. But, yeah, I love this time of year, Eric. I mean, it's just so much fun watching baseball. We had a no-no last night by Houston. We've already had some epic games. I always love the crazy numbers in the first week of the season when people are hitting, you know, 535, someone has five home runs already, you know, that kind of stuff. It's interesting. Like I said, we already have a no-hitter. It's great. I'm watching a decent amount of baseball around my schedule as much as I can. It's not as much as I'd like to because of life. But yeah, the Giants, look, we know they've upgraded, and we know they're going to probably going to be above 500 this year. I mean, that's even what Vegas says at 83.5. And so this is just a little bump in the road. It's five games. 2-3 isn't the end of the world. I mean, look at Houston right now. They're 1-4. That was their first win last night of the season, which was a no-hitter, and they won, I think it was 10-0. But, you know, look at the Giants stumble a little bit out of the gate. They split in San Diego, four-game series, and they lose the opener against L.A. last night. But we did know that there was going to be a little bit of weakness in the back end of the rotation with a number 4 and 5 spot. And that definitely happened with a number 4 spot, with Dalton Jeffries being called up. And although Keaton Wynn was actually, in my estimation, pretty darn good last night against LA, he just didn't quite locate that well. But I'd say the biggest takeaway in the first five games, as far as what the Giants' weakness is clearly the bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen has been leaking the entire season. You know,
it's funny, the entire season. five games. It's funny. Like, we'll even when they're 107 win, you know, season, they had weeks where they went 1-5 or 2-4. You know, like, that's what this is. Everyone's got to think of it in that way. Compartmentalize it. But yeah, bullpen has been leaking oil is an understatement.
Yeah, the win start yesterday, what you described, because I didn't catch most of it, is literally every start of his last year. Well, he had some decent stuff. He just didn't seem to locate, you know, as often as he wanted to, which is what you're going to get out of a 4 or 5 starter. You know, yeah. Poor Dalton Jeffries. Dalton Jeffries gave up more runs as the starting pitcher than Tyler Fitzgerald gave up. Tyler Fitzgerald?
Yes, Tyler Fitzgerald.
Gave up as a pitcher in the eighth inning of that same game, which is just crazy to think about. The starting pitcher gave up more runs than a position player who pitched later in the game. It just doesn't seem right. But, I mean, that's part of the, you know, it's the one problem. It's literally the only problem. I mean, we saw negative starting off because they're 2-3, but it's literally the only problem.
Yeah.
Logan Webb's been was fantastic in his first start. The offense overall is just, they're better at bats. They're mm-hmm. they're better swings. They're doing a better job of cashing in runs. I mean, you know, leaving runners on last night was a big part of it. But overall, they've been, you know, doing better with it's just better at bats. They just look like a better coached team with a little more talent. I mean, Matt Chapman coming out with 2 home runs in game 2 was phenomenal. Michael Conforto, you played the clip at the top. Unbelievable how Michael Conforto's been swinging the bat. It's a sweet swing right now. He is definitely locked in. This is the best we've ever seen him. So I think and then Jung-Hoo Lee. I mean, there's so many positives to look at right now.
Yeah, Jung-Hoo Lee is someone I wanted to touch upon because other than the highlights that you can watch from the KBO League, we haven't seen him face major league pitching other than what we saw in spring training where he hit over 400, and he's facing a lot of prospects. Here we are in the first week of the season, I guess. He's very comfortable. He's hitting over 300 yep. with a bomb already. He looks really comfortable out there. And by the way, the ball has just been screaming off the bat. He had been averaging 95 miles per hour off the bat for all of his contact. And yesterday he hit one at 109 miles an hour. So the guy is known to square the ball. That's why he has a high batting average and few strikeouts. Because he barrels quite often. He's just not extremely strong, right? So, I mean, if you put Otani's power into his, you know, ability to hit the ball more often. I mean, clearly this would be a 30-40 home run guy. Yeah, he's got one bomb already. I think the most he's ever going to hit for the Giants is 20, which is amazing. That's more than amazing for the Giants. But he looks really comfortable, and any fears I had have immediately been assuaged. I mean, yeah, he might still end up hitting only 250. I'll still take that. He looks like he's a quality major league outfielder.
Yeah, he sure does. He's above average in everything so far, granted 5 games, but like his hard hit percentage is almost 60%. He's barreled 10.5%. So he's got 19 batted balls. He's barreled 2 of them. Okay, that makes sense. Probably the one last night in the home run. Yeah, it is. It's been great. His eye is fantastic. He rarely takes a pitch out of the zone. Like, I had kind of hyped that because that's what I had heard, but I hadn't seen it in practice yet. And it's true. He does not go fishing a whole lot at all. He's good at identifying pitches. And I know he took a little tumble against the wall last night on a ball. Was that last night? No, San Diego.
Yeah. No, he actually did slam against the wall with Betts' triple.
It was last night. Okay. Yeah, it was last night.
He was okay.
Talking about another guy on fire, Mookie Betts. But Jung-Hoo, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, lack of, you know, being a less of an athlete. He is fine at the major league level. These pitchers did not intimidate him. He hit that homer the other day like he knew he was going to hit a homer if he got a certain pitch. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got that Ichiro type stroke where if he just wants to put a little lift on the ball, he can knock it out, you know, a little more. But he knows his goal is just to get on base. And they seem to love him. You saw the beer shower that he got after hitting his first major league home run. The guys stuffed him in a laundry cart and showered him with beer. And he seems to be part of the team. And yeah. I love that. I hope he leads off at least 140 games this year. I mean, it's so refreshing to have a genuine leadoff guy again.
I love it. I mean, it's so fun, Eric, to just be like, you just see Lee's name at the top of the lineup every night. That's it, period. Every he's just night. In there. And yeah, he'll have an occasional off day here and there throughout the season, but other than that, he's just plugged in. It's none of this platooning. It's none of this, you know, 18 different lineups in 19 games. The Giants are not going to be using that. They're going to be, you know, fairly regular in terms of their lineup. And Lee so far, obviously he's hitting well, 3-16, granted. Yes, I know it's a small sample size, but out of the 19 at-bats, he's only struck out twice. So there you go. There's that good eye coming into play again. He just puts the ball in play. And so when you do that, things are going to leak through. And we both think, you know, you think he's going to hover over 300 and me just right under it. So some lofty expectations for this guy. He's a rookie. He was not a kid, but he's a rookie. He's a lot of fun to watch. Conforto, you mentioned, 3 home runs already, hitting 368. Chapman had 2 bombs in 1 game in San Diego, hitting 286 with just some stellar defense already. He's going to be saving so many runs for the Giants.
I mean, it's so refreshing, isn't it? Like, balls are getting sucked up. Nick Ahmed's playing really well at short, too. But Chappie, you're right. It's like every time the ball gets hit to him, you're just like, oh, that's an out. Like, literally, I remember saying one of the games they won, he made the final out. And right when the ball got hit to him, I'm like, game over. I got up and I started moving around. It's, you know, he's going to make the play.
Yeah. No, he's just on fire. And you mentioned Webb did great in his first start. Harrison did great in his first start. And Jordan Hicks, he got out of trouble from a couple of innings where he loaded the bases, but he had dominant stuff. And I wish I had that stat in front of me, but they said there's only been 3 Giants that have thrown 3 or more pitches in a game higher than 99, and one of them was Tim Lincecum. It is like in the past 20-something years. Jordan Hicks threw 16 fastballs at 99 or above. Like, it's just insane. It's just insane. I forget the third person off the top of my head, but it's a very short list, and the guy is a flamethrower. It was not Camilo, no, but obviously we know. It probably meant starter. Probably wasn't
Ray Black. Pitcher. Oh, starter would make sense.
Yeah, because obviously some bullpen fire come there. Anyway, those are some of the positives right now. Unfortunately, we did mention the bullpen. They have given up 20 earned runs in 18 innings pitched. Ooh, ow. I mean, that's more runs than innings pitched. That's a 10 flat ERA, and that is dead last in major leagues. Yes, these are going to change every day at the beginning of the season, but when you start last out of the first week, it's not a good start to your bullpen. So you had the game in San Diego. They won, but they had a 9-1 lead going into the bottom of the ninth, and the pen gave up a 5 spot and actually made the game a little interesting at the end. And Duvall was a part of that. He had to be called in, and he allowed a 3-run bomb. And then that continued right into LA or San Diego the next day. They scored 3 or more runs in the first 3 innings. So they had allowed 17 runs in 4 frames, including the night before. It was just this catastrophe. It was a catastrophe, right? And then last night, you know, it was they kept it close. It was 3-1. It was a game. And then suddenly, you know, Tyler Rogers gave up the Gopher 3-run home run, and the Dodgers didn't look back from there.
There's only one way to go. I mean, up. Yeah. So, you know,
you can't get much worse than that. Just saying.
Can't get any lower. Tyler Rogers is one of my main concerns right now with that bullpen.
Yeah.
He's just not fooling anybody. And we've talked for years. I don't know. I personally am not a big fan of a contact pitcher as a bullpen arm, especially one you're looking to get big outs, not just a mop-up man. So I it's possible. I mean, I know it's early, but Tyler Rogers does have these stretches, and you know, maybe he's running out of gas and running out of fooling people. He's having the toughest time, it seems, so far. He's got a 9 ERA in 3 appearances. He's given up 2 bombs already this year. I mean, it used to be that he never gave up a home run. Everything was weak, and he's given up plenty this year. So it's frustrating to see Tyler having such a bad start to the season. He's been the biggest one in my mind that stands out.
Yeah, because he's often his stuff looks extremely hittable, but you look at the end of the year and he usually has like a 2.4, 2.7 ERA. You know, he's looking pretty good. But he'll go in these ruts. He's done this in the past. And sometimes I think it's blown out of proportion. Not necessarily yet, but it could be blown out of proportion now when it's at the beginning of the season, right? It's just like, oh my God, it's just horrible and all that. We'll have to, you know, see how this progresses because he has been a quality guy. He's been their setup guy in the past, and he has the numbers to back it up. So we'll just see if he can settle it down. But it really is the entire bullpen right now. And that's the problem. The Giants overall have a 6.86 ERA as a team. That's 27th in the league. Their starters have a 4.5 ERA, and that's like 13th. It's right in the middle. So again, starting pitching hasn't been too much of a concern. And most of that, of course, came from Dalton Jeffries. Let's remind you. The other four starters were good to okay. It was just Dalton Jeffries. And these are the things that will be, you know, improved as the season goes on, because we have Blake Snell making his debut next Monday against Washington. So that's going to bump a Dalton Jeffries type. And then eventually we're going to get Alex Cobb back sooner rather than later. And that's going to be a huge, you know, boon. And then July, of course, Robbie Ray. I'm hoping by the All-Star break, this rotation is humming. I just from 1 to 5. And that's you know, high hopes. Because barring injury and everything like that. But I see that as a possibility. My one concern would be a Jordan Hicks type. Again, he's a reliever. He's a fireballer. He's converted back to a starter where he was earlier in his career. And I'm a little worried about the innings. And I do believe that that will catch up with him. And at some point, he's either going to be hurt or fatigued enough. You see that fastball dip from 99, 98 down to in the mid-90s. And he's just going to get torched. We'll see. I don't know. But a lot of fatigue can play into play with these fireballers.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. It was his splitter. I think it's a splitter that was just showing unbelievable movement, downward movement in his start. He just looks like he throws a heavy ball. You know that when you make contact, you feel it. Some guys, when you make contact, you know, you don't feel it. It hits the sweet spot. You know, nothing is felt. It's like light as a feather. But when you hit his pitches, you really feel it. I got to imagine they're going to stagger some rest right now. So today's Tuesday, and Logan Webb is starting tonight. So if they go in order, Snell is starting on Monday, correct?
Correct.
All right, so Webb is the one. He's starting tonight right now. Harrison is the two right now. He'll start tomorrow night. Then they're off on Thursday. You got three games over the weekend. But they can skip a start and push everybody, or they can skip a start with taking the Dalton Jeffries spot out right now.
Correct.
And pitch Webb on Sunday, and that puts Snell on Monday. So I suspect that's what they're going to do.
I think that's what Webb's they're pitching. Doing.
It makes the most sense that Webb would pitch today and Sunday. And then Snell would pitch Monday, which will then bump Harrison to Tuesday and Hicks to Wednesday and give Hicks, there you go, one of those extra days of rest right there. I think you're right in the sense that they're going to have to work with that throughout the season, because if he does show signs of fatigue, they're going to have to find spots and rest and stick him on the IL. You know, that's where Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb come into play, thankfully.
Yeah.
But for right now, you know, ride him while you can. That was his first ever win as a starter. Jordan Hicks. It was his ninth career start, and it was his first ever win. And, I mean, he didn't even give up a run, I don't think. He just
– he
danced through damage through base runners in a couple innings, and that was it. So that was a good sign. But having Snell come back, that you're right, it'll settle this down. Dalton Jeffries is already gone, so he won't be starting another game at this point. Keaton Wynn will be the fifth starter. So I got to imagine that's what they're going to do to slot it in. So I'm kind of curious just to see how they get going in a couple weeks here. Like, you know, as much as some of the team we've watched is what we're going to see this year, like you mentioned, Lee's going to be there at the top of the lineup. A lot is in flux right now with the pitching staff. And so they got to kind of juggle it and figure out what they're going to do for a while. But, you know, when you talk about so Snell's Monday, yeah, Hicks was such a nice surprise, too. I mean, I'd love for you to be wrong and he doesn't get hurt and he can handle it, but he's never thrown over 100 innings in a season. And as a starter, you're going to do that.
100%. And hopefully he's built up a lot in the offseason as the Giants have spoken to him about taking this role on. Who knows if he changed his offseason training regimen? I haven't seen that. Maybe he has, but it'd be something to ask. I think that'd be interesting.
I mean, it was a four-year deal, too. So were they expecting him to come in and start right away? No, I think that there's some wiggle room here. So they'll definitely play with him.
Yeah, and again, if he does struggle, let's say by the time he's struggling, Cobb and maybe Ray are back. The Giants would have the flexibility in the starting rotation to maybe bump him or even put him in the pen, right? Where he could be at that point more effective coming out infrequently like he used to earlier in his career. I know that's not the long-term plan, and I know that's not what the Giants want from him. I get it. I'm just saying that he's one of those guys, at least he has the flexibility to do that. You've seen other guys do it later in their career. He's not, quote, later in his career, but he's used to that bullpen role. But once they announced Snell as the starter on Monday, I did the same thing as you just did. I pulled up the schedule and went, okay, Webb, Harrison, off day. And then you go Hicks, Wynn. You've skipped Jeffries.
Right.
And then you go back to Webb on Sunday, and then you set it up with your Snell on Tuesday. And then you just keep that rotation going where you're going to go Webb, Snell, Harrison, Hicks, Wynn. And you're just going to keep that going for a while. So until, you know, someone shits the bed or Alex Cobb comes back and they have to make a decision, which will probably be a Keaton Wynn unless he's, you know, making them have a tough decision to make. Which hopefully...
Which would be a nice problem to have.
Which would be a nice problem to have. Yeah. Again, good first time through the rotation, except for Dalton Jeffries. That's fine. Yeah, he's a little bit of a journeyman too. So, but yeah, coming up, the Giants have the remaining two at LA, and you spoke about this last week. Just thank God they don't have to face them 19 times anymore, because you just... Look, they're just a super team. And you look at them last night, and it's just... From 1 through 9, you're just like, damn, the lineup just doesn't end. And you see what they do. You know, they have their big innings, and they put up the runs. They have good pitching. They have good defense. And before you know it, you're like, oh, the Giants are in this game. The Giants are in the... And there it goes. And that's why the Dodgers are better, right? You can't do this. Well, Keaton Wynn looked great, but he just misplaced a couple of pitches. And overall, he pitched well. He allowed, whatever, 3 runs in 5 innings. That's not a bad start for a young guy against a super lineup. But, you know, it was a couple mistakes that, especially with 2 outs, man, it was just frustrating to see that, you know, or a Freddie Freeman, you know, 1-2 count, and he leaves, you know, a hanger right over the middle, and he slaps it for an RBI single. And then the next guy, you know, sacrifice fly, scores the runner from third. It was just a single and a sac fly, but a walk opened up the inning. And it's just these little tiny mistakes. And if you give the Dodgers an extra run or two, that's all they need. And that was kind of proof last night. But they got 2 against LA, off day, 3 against San Diego, and then 3 at home against Washington. So, you know, it's tough. Every year the Giants do open up on the road pretty much every year, and there are 2 reasons for that. One, the Giants, I know, prefer to end the season at home, and 2, the weather's typically nicer at the end of the year in San Francisco, so they'd rather back end it to have less of a chance of having those rainouts in the beginning of the season. You know, Seattle has a dome, and yeah, Oakland's there, and they had their home openers too. That's why they usually flip-flop, but the Giants have usually opened up on the road. So it'd be interesting, though. I think it's been at least 5 years since the Giants opened at home. That would have been something if they opened up in March. But it did rain a lot last week too, so I knew it would have been
rained. I mean, they almost got rained out in San Diego. That would have been
weird. Yeah,
I dealt with the same system. It hovered for a while. They just managed to get that game in on Saturday.
Yeah, but... Anyway, this was going to be a short podcast. We only had 5 games to talk about, but I'm just happy to talk about this. We didn't mention Yaz was briefly on the paternity list, so congratulations to him. You know, that's one kid delivered. Maybe he can deliver his first hit of the season coming up, because he's right. 0-4, 0-3 so far. So I'm really looking for him to have. He's got to have a strong season, man. You know, we can't have this guy just be hitting 220 every year. It's not going to work anymore. And we're just striking out half the time.
I'll throw it out there. Everybody, look at his, at the end of the season, look at Yastrzemski's home and road splits. And I can almost guarantee you his road splits will be better than his home, because he's getting more sleep. So just factor that in.
Good point. Yeah, someone with 2 kids, I know that it affected my performance at work. That's for damn sure. And if I was on the road, on a road trip, sleeping in a hotel without that interruption, yeah, I would definitely be performing a little bit better.
It sounds so horrible. We all love our kids and everything. But when you get away, you get to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, just personally, my son, he's in eighth grade. He's in Washington, D.C. this week, as a lot of eighth graders do their D.C. trips. And of course, our daughter is a freshman at Berkeley. So this is the first time ever in 18 years, 18 plus years, that my wife and I have been home alone together. So we are taking a little 3-day staycation starting tomorrow before the kids come back. So that'll be nice. Speaking of getting sleep, I am definitely getting some sleep now. So it's pretty awesome, because when they're young, they keep you up by crying and fussing and all that stuff at night. And when they become teenagers, they want to stay up late. And that's how they keep you up late. Just, you know, wanting to watch something, wanting to do something, or just making noise in the house until midnight. You're just like, bro, I'm just like my grandpa. I need to get some sleep. I used to be such a night owl. Not anymore. It's so hard for me. Getting old sucks, I tell you. It's going to happen to all you out there listening. It hasn't happened already.
Like, you're pointing the finger at all our listeners.
Oh my God, I was literally pointing a finger. And this is not on video. Oh, anyway.
Shakes fist at cloud.
Get off my lawn! Yeah, shakes fist at cloud.
You know, the Dodgers you brought up, just some random I noticed. They've scored 5 runs or more in every game. So it's going to be hard to hang. Cool. Yeah, it's going to be hard to hang with the Dodgers this year.
Well, really, you know, from point one, we were like, wild card it is. That's what they're going for. And it's not often we've had to do that, but the last few years, that's kind of what we're left with, is we got a super team in our division, and that's where they got to go. But again, last year, 2 wild cards, made it the World Series, the Giants 2014, wild card, 2002, wild card, you know, it happens, so...
I'm not worried about them. I'll say this. I've never been so excited about a Giants season. Guy, let me tell you, listener, I was so negative going into this offseason, and the way this team is put together now, I can't believe how much I like this team. They're professional. They go about their at-bats in a good way. You know, I don't think Bob Melvin will suffer fools for long. I think if Tyler Rogers continues to not play well, he'll just stay away from him for a while. But just up and down the lineup, I've not seen a complete team like this from the Giants since Farhan's been here. I personally think that they're better equipped than the 2021 team was. I think they have a better pitching staff when it comes to the end of the season. And if Soler can figure it out, they're just going to be, deadly. If Conforto stays this way, Chapman's making contact the way he is, Jung-Hoo Lee set the table at the top. I mean, that's a lot of names that are actually contributing. We're not just talking about Wilmer Flores having the most home runs on the team and the most hits for 2 years in a row, which was a problem. Wilmer's a great guy, but he shouldn't be leading the team in these categories. And I think we're going to see such a difference this year. And I've seen it, so I'm excited. I'm so excited about this season. You know, every time I see the lineup, I'm like, this is a different team. I'm reacting like, you know, it's 25 years ago, and I'm invested in every game. And I am, to a point, but I mean... I don't know about you, but I'm really, really excited in the sense that I see a lot of good things out of this team. And so, you know, as much as the bullpen sucks, we have so many positives to take away from these first 5 games.
100%. I do believe this team is better on paper than the 2021 team. 2021, they caught lightning in a bottle. I was duped into believing that could work and was sustainable going forward, and it was not. And it was clear with the players, and it was one of those things where they said, okay, I'll buy in this year, and they all bought in, and they all played their bit roles, and they all had their pinch hits and their defensive swaps and platooning, and it all worked out. But fatigue crept in, uncertainty about when you're playing crept in, does coach have a lack of confidence in my abilities crept in, not knowing when you were going to play and if you were going to play crept in. All those things just really wore down the players to the point where we saw what happened at the end. And so it's refreshing to see at least a little bit more of a traditional approach to the game, like we were discussing with Lee being at the top of the lineup every day. I will say I didn't always expect Jorge Soler to be in the number 2 slot. I'm not arguing against it because, you know, they have some decent players behind him. And, you know, Wade's... you know, obviously a good contact hitter. You have Chapman back there, and Flores is getting in the mix. It's a good lineup, and I will say that in the past, if they started the season 2-3, which is nothing, that's stupid to even be upset about that. I'd be like, oh, here we go. The same old Giants, just not able to get out of their own way. But right now, knowing that the bullpen is really the only problem in those first five games, I'm still real excited about this team. And even guys like Matt Chapman have been quoted, like, this is a really good team, guys. We're going to do something this year. I think that's genuine, too. I really do.
Yeah.
Even though he's only on a one-year, you know, opt-out deal, two-year opt-out deal after one. I really do believe some of these guys are buying into this. The one thing that hasn't changed, though, Eric, is stolen bases. One attempt so far by Lee, and he was 0-for. So we're not going to see that, unfortunately.
Man, apparently that's never going to be a San Francisco Giants baseball, because I don't remember in my life ever having a team that really could do that.
No, no, they are not going to be the 1987 St. Louis Cardinals. That's not going to happen, ever. But anyway, I'm still real excited about this team, and it's got to take, you know, a couple of months of poor play to extinguish my fire of excitement, to be honest. Even if they were a little under 500 for April, still, it's just one out of 6 months. We've seen these teams in the past just catch, whether it's the Giants, which they have in the past, or other teams like, you know, the Nationals, right? Or other, or the Braves from 2021, where they were at the All-Star break, they were under 500 and they caught fire, made the playoffs and won the World Series. So again, Giants fans, if they have, you know, they're under 500 after April or even May or even June, if they're five games under 500, it's still not over yet. This team was put together kind of at the last minute. I think it is going to take some time for them to get to know one another, for everyone to kind of feel comfortable in their roles, for them to start gelling and building that chemistry. And I think you're going to see this team have some really epic weeks where you're going to see them go on a 7, 8, 9 game win streak a couple of times in a month. I really do think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I mean, they got San Diego, Washington at home coming up. Then they go to Tampa and Miami, and then they've got a long homestand with Arizona, the Mets, and the Pirates. So if they do start clicking, I could see them going on a little bit of a tear. They've got, like, and then the long road trip. They've got definite chances with a couple of longer homestands early in the season here. And, I mean, you put together a, what is that, 4, 6, you put together like a 7-3 homestand, you know, or an 8-2 homestand on one of those 10 gamers, it puts you in a really good position. And I could see this team ripping off those kind of things. So Chappie's right. They are solid. They are going to do things.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, that's going to do it for episode 298 of the TorchCast. If you're listening to this, then you know where to get the podcast. But we do put everything up at TorchCast.com.
I got plugs.
You got what?
I got plugs. Let me plug real quick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go plug away, Eric.
The Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. I was a guest on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which somehow is affiliated with Joe Kelly. I'm not sure about that yet. But the guy who hosts it was the guy who dressed up as Randy Johnson killing the bird for Halloween last year. He was a decent dude. But I made the case for the 2024 San Francisco Giants on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. So search anywhere you find your podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. And you can search for the specific episode I was on by looking for the Giants or Eric Nathanson, and you'll be able to find that. It was a lot of fun, and I did make the case for the Giants. Much like I said, I'm suddenly very happy for them. And then I'm trying some pro sports fan streaming thing with the guys at Giants Chatter. So pro sports fan app, download it if you want to see us hang out during a ball game. I'll always tweet and share when we're going live. But check out the Baseball Isn't Boring one. That one was a lot of fun. I was on after Jessica Kleinschmidt. So they weren't just asking, you know, small town little people. The people that have been around the baseball industry for a while. So I was very happy and honored to be joining them and had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I follow Jessica. So I definitely should. I've seen about 5 minutes of your episode. I need to go back and watch the whole thing. But that's really cool. Pull you got there. And we have, by the way, I wanted to replug the food review video that I put up a couple of weeks ago from the media open house at Oracle Park, where I preview 7 or 8 new items on the menu at Oracle Park. A lot of good food there, about a 10-minute video, so check it out. It's on our website, torchgas.com, or on YouTube. You can find it there. You can like us also on Facebook, and we're still active on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it, Elon's platform, I don't know, whatever. Is it a tweet anymore? Twitter. What is a tweet? Is it an X? Is it a statement on X? Like, I don't even understand. I still call them tweets. I still call it Twitter. Can't break the old habits. So anyway, that'll do it. Boy, we have 300 coming up. We'll have some special plans for that, hopefully. And until then, have a great week. We'll come back next week for 299. Until then, go Giants. Aboom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.